Welcome to Cannabis House Call. This podcast is committed to educating the discerning public and will make the case for cannabis as medicine. Your hosts, Dr. Les Matthews and Dr. Hal Altman, are physicians with advanced degrees in medical cannabis. The Cannabis House Call is sponsored by Compassionate Certification Centers, or CCC. CCC is a physician-owned and leading medical marijuana certification center that helps patients receive legal access to medical marijuana in Pennsylvania. Having certified more than 100,000 patients across the state through its in-office and virtual telehealth appointments, CCC makes the process of getting a Pennsylvania medical marijuana card fast and easy. Learn more at cccregister.com.
Hello and welcome back to Cannabis House Call. My name is Dr. Les Matthews, and I'm pleased to be joined again by my colleague, Dr. Hal Altman. We are both physicians with advanced degrees in medical cannabis and have joined together to produce this podcast with the goal of providing unbiased and accurate information to our listeners and consumers on all things cannabis. Welcome back, Hal.
Thank you, Les. We generally end our podcast with a question from the audience, and based upon an interesting article that appeared recently in a national newspaper, the whole issue of testing for THC has come up, and we thought it might be a good time for us to address those issues. So, Les, can you give us an idea of what tests are available for THC? I know it's much different than alcohol. For instance, if you're driving and you're pulled over and you're suspected of being intoxicated, there's a breathalyzer test that can be used, there's blood alcohol tests that can be used, and there's an established threshold of when you're judged to be intoxicated objectively. Does the same apply for THC?
It does not. And this is a good question from a listener regarding testing, because it's a complicated issue that's evolving pretty rapidly. First of all, there is no breathalyzer test currently available for THC. So if someone is operating a motor vehicle and presumed to be impaired, again, in contrast to where they would be asked to do a breathalyzer test and, as you say, have a threshold above which they would be considered impaired, there's no such thing for cannabis. So there's field sobriety testing that is done, but it's not in any way quantitative in terms of being able to tell a level of THC in one's bloodstream at any given time. And I'll also digress and say that there are people working on developing that. And when they do, buy stock, because it's going to be successful. It's going to be important and impactful. But right now that doesn't exist. So the issue of testing for THC levels becomes more complicated and, frankly, a little unwieldy. Let's also, relative to this question that we got, tackle the issue of employer testing. Because, you know, we've had listeners ask us, well, if it's legal in my state, how can my employer ask me to take a cannabis test? And the answer is because they can, and because different employment requirements may mandate that an employer not be operating machinery or flying an airplane or going into the operating room as a surgeon or whatever the case may be in any sort of impaired state. So they reserve the right to test those employees at their discretion to make sure that's not occurring. And that is fully within the law and the right and the purview of an employer, regardless of the state's laws or position on cannabis. Now, how they do the testing is an interesting issue as well. THC levels can be detected through blood tests. They can be detected through hair samples. They can be detected through saliva samples. So there are a number of ways in which THC levels within an individual can be quantified. The problems are several. Number one, none of those tests are immediate. So you have a delay from the time you take the sample to the time you get the results. The other thing that's interesting is that THC, as we've discussed on many occasions, is a fat-loving chemical compound. So if I'm a person that smoked my very first joint a week ago, and I go to my employer and they want me to take a cannabis blood test, the chances are that cannabis blood test would be negative because it would be out of my system in that period of time and I would not test positive. On the other hand, if I was someone that smoked cannabis on a daily basis and had done so for the past 5 years, there will be an inherent buildup of THC in the fatty tissues of the body, so it will hang around much, much longer and has the potential, therefore, to take a cannabis test where maybe the person hadn't actually used THC or consumed THC for a week or 10 days and still have that test be positive because of the lingering effects of THC on a chronic basis in the fatty tissues of the body.
And Les, is it fair to say that most of the THC testing that's done today is qualitative rather than quantitative? That is, that they're simply looking for the presence of THC rather than trying to determine the actual amount.
That's absolutely true. And that's true and important for two reasons. Number one, not all the testing is good enough to be accurate with quantitative values in terms of the exact milligrams of THC in the bloodstream. But the other is that there are also no accepted norms or thresholds like there are for alcohol. So a level of THC in one person's bloodstream may mean a very different thing in terms of, you know, psychomotor impairment and mental acuity and all those things in another person. So one size doesn't fit all with THC, where it may more so with alcohol.
So Les, when we do things like talk about the pharmacokinetics and pharmacology of THC, it can be somewhat of a scientific bore. But I think the testing aspect of this really underscores how important it is to understand what THC brings to the table in terms of the way it's absorbed in the body, the way it's distributed, the way it's metabolized, and the way it's eliminated. So I appreciate your comments on that. Are there any parting words that you'd like to give us concerning testing?
I just think it's important to recognize that testing for use of THC is very different than testing for alcohol, and one needs to be aware of the type of testing that's available, its limitations, both in terms of not being as quantitative and also having significant delays from the time the test is administered till the results are back. But it is something where one needs to be highly aware of the potential to just be sitting outdoors at a music festival and the passive exposure to cannabis from others could impact a cannabis test if you were asked to take one the day after. So it is something to be aware of in terms of cannabis testing.
Well, thanks for that discussion, Les. We appreciate your expertise on the subject, and we look forward to seeing you and our audience back next week on the Cannabis House Call.
Thank you, Hal. All information, material, and content on this podcast is for general information and educational purposes only, and is not intended as a substitute for professional and/or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment by a qualified physician or healthcare provider. No doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of this information and any materials linked to this podcast is at the user's own risk. Cannabis House Call does not offer personal health or medical advice. If you have a medical emergency, call your doctor or call 911 immediately.